A few years ago, I had a wonderful opportunity na mag-drive in the coolness of the morning sa isang malapad na kalsada. Actually, nag-aagaw liwanag pa ho siya, no? Binaba ko yung bintana ng sasakyan. And habang nagda-drive po ako, enjoy na enjoy ko yung lamig ng hangin na humahampas sa aking mukha. Itong maneho na ito ay papunta sa mismong Maynila, galing Bulacan, yung NLEX. No? So it was really a joyful ride para sa akin. I always love mornings. When I was driving, nung malapit na po yung sa toll gate, may napansin ako na may isang mamang nakatayo sa gitna. At tinuro ako, at gumanon, pinatabi ako. So, tataka ko, ano kaya meron dito? Paglapit niya sa side ng bintana ko, sinabi niya, magandang umaga, sir. Medyo overspeeding po tayo. Sabi ko, nung sinabi niya sa akin yun, hindi ako naging masaya. No, ba, anong overspeeding? May mas mabilis mga sa akin nag-overtake. So I was not repentant, okay? I do not see yung aking sin noong time na yun. I was denying it. Wala ko dapat i-deny. Sabi siya, huwag na i-deny. Hindi ako i-deny. Sir, huling-huli ho sa camera. Hindi ko alam na may camera na pala, na may radar. Gusto niya ho bang makita? Ay, hindi ho. Huwag na. Okay na yun. So, agad-agad ko binigay ang aking lisensya. At in-schedule po ako ng whole day seminar bilang disiplina. In our passage today, David was also caught. He was not caught by a fast high-speed camera sa highway. No. He was caught by an all-knowing God who sees everything. And he was caught sa lahat ng mga violations niya sa buhay niya. Violations against God. And because of that, God disciplined him. And the discipline was so intense na he wrote a penitent psalm. And yun yung Psalm chapter 6. Yun yung psalm na aaralin natin ngayong hapon na ito. Psalm chapter 6 ay ang unang psalm out of the 6 penitential psalms na isinulat po sa Book of Psalm, o awit, mga awit. The rest of them is Psalm chapter 37, 38, 51, 102, 103, and 143. So lahat yun ay penitential psalm. Ano ba ang penitential psalm? These are songs that were written about the sorrow over sin and the deep sadness that comes from a heart that is filled with regret sa nagawa niyang pagkakamali. Such is yung psalm natin ngayong hapon na ito. Aaralin po natin ito ngayong hapon na ito na si David is under God's disciplinary action. He rebelled against God and God disciplined him. He knows it and he is suffering for it. And now he comes to the Lord in prayer dahil sa kanyang pinagdadaanan na bigat. How does one respond to the Lord's discipline? Para kay David, when he was distressed because of his sin, he turned to God for redemption. If this is true kay David, friends, this is also true to us. When distress because of sin, when we are distressed because of sin, turn to God for deliverance. We have 4 observations sa penitent letter na isinulat ni David. Number 1, David feared God's anger, verse 1. Number 2, David was troubled by God's displeasure, verses 2 hanggang 3. Third, David repented from his sins, verse 4 to 7. And number 4, David placed his confidence in the Lord's deliverance, verses 8 hanggang 10. Number 1, David feared God's anger. Verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Ang suliranin o ang kabigatan na kinaharap ni David ay resulta ng pagdisiplina sa kanya ng Panginoon dahil sa kanyang karebeldehan, dahil sa kanyang kasalanan. Walang nabanggit sa text na ito kung ano ang ginawa niyang kasalanan o anong klaseng disiplina ang pinataw sa kanya ng Panginoon dahil hindi ito nasusulat? Maaari ang sanhi ng kanyang kabigatan ay ang kanyang mga kaaway na patuloy siyang hinihiya, which is somehow nakikita natin sa verse 8 at 10. O marahil mga kaaway na patuloy siyang tinutugis upang kunin ang kanyang buhay o paslangin, which is nabanggit din niya ito sa verse 5. Kung ano man ito, his troubles were caused by things from the outside, hindi ho sa loob. Mga kaibigan, totoo din po sa ating buhay ito. Kadalasan po ng ating buhay, ang mga kahirapan at sulira rin na ating hinaharap ay caused by things from the outside. We have viruses, nakakasakit tayo. We have afflictions from other people, from office mates. Galing sa labas po yan. At ang natural response po natin dito ay to look outside at tignan ko ano yung cause ng problema. As we look outside, tinitignan natin, once na-discovery natin yung pinakapunot dulo ng ating suliranin, then we start to blame people. Then we start to grumble. Magreklamo. Pero not David. Nope, hindi si David. Kasi para kay David, regardless sa nature ng suliranin, alam niya that God was the source of it. It was a source. God is the source. He sovereignly ordained itong discipline na ito because he was disobedient. Regardless kung sino ang ginagamit ang Panginoon, alam ni David na ikaw, Panginoon, ang nag-ordain niyan. You're the source. Sa kanyang panalangin, sa verse 1, hindi naman niya sinasabi na he doesn't want to be disciplined or hindi naman niya sinasabi, you know what, Lord, I don't deserve to be disciplined. Hindi niya sinasabi yon. Nor did he say na hindi makatarungan ang kapamamaraan mo, Panginoon, kung paano mo ako disiplinahin. Hindi yan ang kanyang prayer. Nor did he say, Lord, tanggalin mo yung discipline mo. No, hindi yan ang sinasabi ng verse 1. Alam ni David na siya ay nagkasala sa Panginoon. Alam niya yon. Alam niya na banal ang Diyos at hindi niya kukonsintihin ang kanyang mga kasalanan. Alam ni David na dapat lamang siyang disiplinahin. So anong panalangin niya ng verse 1? What was he pleading from the Lord? Look at verse 1. David was pleading that the Lord would not discipline him in anger to the point that God will destroy him. Parang yung ginawa ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga kaaway. That was his prayer. Why? Because God is capable of such thing. Hindi ho bago itong prayer na ito. Makikita rin po ito sa Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 24. Si Jeremiah, nung paparusahan sila ng Panginoon dahil sa kapasawayan ng mga taong Israel, at ito ang mabigat ang ipapataw na parusa ng Panginoon, ito yung prayer ng propetang ito. Correct me, O Lord, but in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. In short, sinasabi ni Jeremiah that the Lord would discipline him in good, just measure. Not in full range, yung galit ng Panginoon, unless they will die. And David knows this. He knows that God's anger towards sin will result to death. And let me echo that, friends. Sin will always result to death. Being conscious sa mga nagawa niyang kasalanan, David now fears the wrath of God. David took God's wrath seriously. That's why he was penitent. He fears the wrath of God because God is a holy God and his holiness demands justice. Friends, we need to fear the wrath of God. We need to fear the displeasure of God. Noong 2017, may isang popular na libro na lumabas po. At marama, medyo nasa number 10 ho ata siya sa malakas makabenta, whole world. Baka familiar po kayo rito, ang pamagat ng libro na to is this, Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God. Medyo familiar probably sa inyo yung pamagat na yon. Sinulat ito ng author as a contra, to contradict ang popular sermon ng 1741 na preacher na si Jonathan Edwards, na ang pamagat ng kanyang sermon ay Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. So itong mama na to nagsulat ng 2017 because he was convinced that God does not take pleasure in punishing sin and sinners. So sinulat niya yung libro, Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God. At ang pinakapunto ng libro niya ay kinwestiyon niya ang theology of a wrathful God who delights punishing sinners. So yun po yung thesis ng kanyang libro. Meron ba talagang Diyos na kung saan kaya magparusa ng makakasalanan? Hindi yan ang Diyos na kilala ko. Sometimes we hear that conversation sa ating mga kaibigan. Mga kaibigan, sa panahon ngayon, ito po ang popular na katuruan. God is a loving God, kaya tatanggapin niya ako kung sino man ako. God is a loving God, kahit sino man pakasalang ko, okay lang. God is a loving God, kahit na kung saan gawin ko itong mga bagay na kasalanan na ito, okay lang yan, because love trumps all. Yun po yung popular na katuruan. But listen, friends, by the way, that's not the God of the Bible. God's holy love cannot be divorced from His holy anger towards sin. At the same time, God's anger towards sin cannot be divorced from His goodness. And God cannot be good if He loves evil. And if He loves evil, God can never be holy. If David feared God's anger, then we, friends, must fear God's anger. When trouble comes, kapag alam natin na tayo ay dinidisiplina ng Panginoon, ang una natin gawin is to look to God in fear. Because God is holy. Mga kaibigan, kung nandito ka ngayon and you are in sin, involved in sinful relationships, practicing sinful habits, seeking sinful pleasures, kailangan mo maunawaan na sin will eventually destroy you. And God's anger will remain in you. So ganun ba yun, Pastor? Dapat pag nagkakasala ko, kailangan ko maalala yung galit ng Panginoon? Yes, at hindi lang yon. Later on, I will say na meron pang karugtong yon. The good news is, hindi nahihinto yun doon. But let me develop yung ating thought ng passage muna. Number two. Before I go to number two, friends, if you are in sin, start thinking about whether na gusto nyo ituloy yan o hindi. Because it will destroy you. It will not just destroy you, it will destroy the people that you love. Number two, David was troubled by God's displeasure. Hindi lamang siya takot sa kabanalan ng Diyos o galit ng Diyos, kung hindi, he was troubled by it. No? Verse 2 to 3, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing." Languishing means weak or frail. "Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled." Nararamdaman na ni David ang displeasure ng Panginoon sa kanya dahil mabigat ang Panginoon sa kanya. Mabigat ang kamay ng Panginoon sa kanya. Some say that David was afflicted with physical illness dahil sa pagbanggit niya ng mga body parts, kagaya ng verse 2, "Bones are in agony." Verse 7, "Eyes wasting away." Maring hinipo ng Panginoon ang kanyang katawan at nagkaroon ng karamdaman. Maring ang intense grief ni David sa kanyang sitwasyon has afflicted his health. Maring hindi siya makakain. And kapag hindi ka makakain, hindi ka makatulog, naapektuhan ng iyong pangangatawan at pag-iisip. Maring tumaas ang kanyang blood pressure dahil sa kanyang anxieties. Or maaring siguro, it's too much stress. And too much stress can lead to headache, fatigue, chronic pain, or even depression. However, some believe that this, yung part ng verses 2 to 3, is not literal, kung hindi metaphorical. It is metaphorical in a sense, when he said that his bones are troubled and his soul is greatly troubled, David metaphorically pictures how his brokenness has affected his being. This is a man that is totally devastated because he feels God's displeasure. Kung alin man sa dalawa ang tama o pareho, isa lang po ang sinasabi nito. It means that he has been broken by the rod of God's discipline. God humbled him. Kaya ganun na lang ang tone niya. He was filled with grief. Mabigat. Mabigat yung letter. He is in agony. Alam niyo yun? Makikita niyo sa verse 3 kung gaano yung agony niya kataas. Sabi niya, "But you, O Lord, how long?" His agony is so intense na hindi niya natapos yung unang gusto niya sabihin. Did you see that? "But you, O Lord, why? How long?" Yun po yung sinasabi ng passage na yan. Hindi pa niya natuloy because he is in great pain. We don't know if it's physical. We don't know if it's emotional or spirit. Well, he feels the displeasure of God. Sabi dyan, "But you," and then he cries out, "Oh Lord, how long?" Saints of the Old Testament and New Testament cries out the same when they are in deep agony. "Oh Lord, how long?" Do you remember Habakkuk? He did cry out, "Oh Lord, how long?" David's desperate situation was a sign of God's displeasure. Now, hindi po nangangahulugan na lahat ng mga desperate situations po natin sa buhay ay ang ibig sabihin niyan ay nakakonekta po sa kasalanan o nangangahulugan ay kaparusahan sa kasalanan. Pero may mga iba na ganun po yung dahilan. At yun ang dahilan kaya nilagay si David sa sitwasyon niyang ngayon. God was disciplining him. He was feeling yung fellowship na dati hindi na niya nararamdaman. Iba ang trato sa kanya. Mga kaibigan, hindi ba ito din ang ginagawa ng Diyos Ama sa ating mga anak niya kapag tayo ay nagpapatuloy at nagpapakasasa sa kasalanan? Mabigat din ang kamay ng Panginoon sa atin? The Lord disciplines His children not to destroy them, but to humble them. It is an act of love, and it's also an act of mercy. Yung binasa ni Erickson kanina sa passage niya before he prayed the prayer of petition is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 hanggang 7. And it says here, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Verse 10. God disciplines us for our good that we may share His holiness. The Lord loves us so much na ayaw niya tayong manatili sa ating kasalanan. So the Lord causes troubles in our lives. He causes troubles. He uses tragedies. He uses people to inflict, and He uses people to things and situations to get our attention. A famous British writer and theologian, ang pangalan ay C.S. Lewis, comments that when Christians go through pain and suffering, ito ang kanya sinasabi. Pain insists upon being attended to. If you're going through suffering, sabi niya, kailangan pansinin mo. Why? Ito ang sabi niya, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pain. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world." End quote. Let me give a disclaimer ngayong oras na ito. Now, I have to be careful sa pagbitaw na kung saan lahat ng mga trahedya na nangyari sa ating buhay ay gawa ng kaparusahan ng kasalanan. Kasi hindi ko sinasabi na ang paghihirap na dinaranas mo bilang isang Kristiyano ay lahat may kinalaman sa kasalanan. Hindi ko rin sinasabi na ang lahat ng paghihirap mo ay walang kinalaman sa kasalanan. Does that make sense? Okay? So, isang tanyag at dakilang New Testament scholar sa ating time na ang pangalan ay D.A. Carson clarifies itong tension na ito. Okay? First of all, this is what he said. And I quote, "A Christian would be foolish to think that every instance of suffering he or she undergoes must necessarily be the result of God's disciplining hand arising out of a practical sin. Just as a Christian would be foolish to overlook the possibility that God may be inflicting suffering in a disciplinary fashion. Any suffering, or in any other event of, for that matter, God is doubtless doing many things, perhaps thousands of things, millions of things, even we can only detect two of the three or a handful. So why should we think in antithetical terms about how God must be doing this but not do that, when in reality he may be doing this or he may be doing that? But he is trustworthy. He know that. We know that. For he sent his son to suffer on our behalf. When we face suffering of any kind, we should use the occasion of self-examination." So what is he saying? He's saying na, well, kailangan natin mag-ingat na itong nangyayaring na ito is ito ang dahilan kung bakit nangyayari sa akin ito, kasi ito yon. Kasi sinasabi ni Dr. Carson dito, it could be one of millions of reasons. Let us not insult the intellect of God. Maybe some of you say, ah, kaya pala naghihirap ako rito, kaya ganito karamdaman ko, kaya ganito nangyari sa akin, kasi ito yon. Maybe. Pero let's not be careful na exclusive na yun lang yon. God works in billions of things na nangyari yon. Okay? Gumagamit ang Panginoon ng iba't ibang kapamamaraanan in order to call us out bilang mga Kristiyano na nagkakasala. So what does God use para to call us out? What does God use to discipline us? Well, let me mention a few. Unang-una, God uses the Bible. Sabi sa 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. God calls us out when every time we open the Bible, every time we listen to the Bible preached, we become aware of our sins. We become aware na, ah, ito pala hindi maganda sa Panginoon. So that's scripture. Number two, God calls us out also through our conscience. Ang ating conscience. The Spirit of God speaks to us through our conscience and guides us. As long as it is informed and ruled by God's Word. So we need to test the spirits. Kaya mga kapatid, kung ikaw ay may kinakaharap na isang suliranin sa buhay mo ngayon, and you are wondering whether God is disciplining me, or maybe God is just stretching or toughening me up, then I suggest, as according kay Dr. Carson, we need to do self-examination. Try to examine na yung bang sitwasyon mo ay pinapalo ka na ng Panginoon? O baka naman binabanat ka ng Panginoon? Open the Word. Meditate and pray. Let the Spirit of God guide you as you read the Word. But hindi lang ho yun. You can also use, which God always uses, God's people. You need someone who will help you walk, who will walk alongside you as you go through this. Ang tawag po dyan is accountability. Ang tawag ho dito ay discipleship. You need a friend. You need someone who will walk alongside you, because the truth is, we don't really know our sins. We know about our sins in a lot of ways, but most of the time, we know about our sins through relationships. Do you know that? You know about your sins because of relationships. Through relationships is people correct you. Through relationships, people sees your weaknesses and exposes them, hopefully in a loving way. God uses your spouse. God uses your children. God uses your parents. God uses people who you are close to, even non-Christian, interestingly, but mostly, helpfully, Christians to walk into your life. Friends, meron na ba kayong taong na ganyan sa buhay mo? It's hard to walk the Christian life by yourself. So God uses His Word, God uses the conscience, God uses His people, and here's the beauty, God uses the church. God uses the church. God uses the church to exercise discipline when a saint is sinning. And we see that in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 is a process when a person have committed sin, you confront this person, just the two of you. Kapag hindi nakinig, then bring an accountability partner with you and then confront this person's sin. If hindi pa rin, then bring an elder along the conversation. If this person does not listen to an elder, then we involve the church. Last Friday, in our members' meeting, we talked about the public careless. The public careless are people that I see who needed attention that I'm concerned about. Either may sakit, either may kailangan ng tulong, or this member is sinning. So we put them under the public careless, and we let the church be involved in order to reach out. So as a church, we go out and minister. So, yun po ang ways on how God calls us out, calls us back, disciplines us through His Word, through the conscience, through God's people, through the church. Remember, the Lord disciplines us not to push us away from Him, but to pull us back to Him. At yun yung nangyayari, yun yung kalagayan ni David. God was pulling him back. Nang dahil sa disiplina ng Panginoon sa kanya, unang-una, he started to fear God's anger. At hindi na natili ho yun doon. Number two, he was troubled by God's displeasure. Because he was troubled by God's displeasure, he was troubled by his sins. Pero hindi po ito nananatili dito. Kasi sa third, David repented from his sins. Praise God for this part. He repented from his sins. Number three, look at verse 4. O Lord, turn, O Lord, deliver my life, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. Nagsimula nang mag-repent si David dito sa Panginoon. He has seen how he has offended the holiness of God. He has tasted the Lord's discipline. He doesn't want to remain sa relationship niya sa Panginoon na malamig. Kaya pwede ito yung resulta kasi alam niya kung magpapatuloy siya, ang resulta ay kamatayan. Look at verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of you, and Sheol, who will give you praise? Ano sinasabi niya rito? In short, ang sinasabi po niya rito, gusto pa niyang mabuhay, Lord. Gusto ko pang mabuhay upang magkaroon pa siya ng pagkakataon na magbigay ng papuri sa Panginoon sa mundo na ito. To express His gratitude. So, Lord, don't take me. Yun yung sinasabi niya. And see, sa part na to, he begins to repent. He starts to feel the weight of his sin and has great sorrow over it. Malaki ang kalungkutan na niya sa kanyang kasalanan. Look how he uses hyperbolic terms to express yung kanyang penance. Tingnan nyo sa verse 6 to 7. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. Hyperbole ang tawag po dyan. So, imagery. Of course, wala pa tayong kilala na umiyak na bangbaha yung kama niya sa kanyang luha. In short, it's all the time umiiyak ako. Hindi ako makatulog. I drench my couch with my weeping. Verse 7, my eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Maybe you would say, of course, Pastor, he would say that. Hindi siya makatulog, iyak siya ng iyak, hindi siya makagalaw. Natutulala na lang siya, wala nang nasubukan niyo na ba yung parang umiiyak na wala nang luha. Of course, mangyayari sa kanya yan. Kasi marami siyang kaaway eh. Dapat lang na yan ang kanyang mangyayari sa kanya. Eh, baka mali mo, paglabas siya ng kwarto, Pastor, bigan na lang siyang bigan. Diba? Of course, matatakot siya. Of course, umiiyak siya. Because his circumstances are hard. His health is probably deteriorating. Maring that sounds right. Pero let me correct that, kapatid. I'd like to clarify that David is not weeping dahil sa kanyang current situation. He was weeping tears of sorrow over his sins. It's not because of the consequence of it. Does that make sense? It was tears of repentance because he understands that his sin is the reason kung bakit siya nahihirapan ngayon. His sin. Friends, are you not convicted by this? Tears flowing from our eyes because of our sins. Kindergarten. I love sharing stories when I was a kindergarten. Say, I know less. I was caught stealing an eraser. Kasi usong-usong yung pambura noon, yung malalaki. Kasi ginagawang kwintas. So I stole that. You see yung pagiging hindi ko expert sa pagnanakaw. Magnanakaw ka ng malaking kwintas, tapos susutin mo. And of course, people would know it's not yours. When I was confronted and punished, I was really sad. I wept bitterly. I wept not because I felt the weight of my sin. I wept because I was caught. I wept because I was humiliated. I wept because of the consequences ng ginawa kong mali as a child. Listen, friends. Have you wept tears of sorrow over your own sin? Or have you only wept over the consequences of your sins? That's two different things. Friends, let us pray. Pray that God in His mercy would work in us, that we would weep over our sins and not laugh about our sins. And not to be proud about our sins. And not to be secretive of our sins. And not to be excited about our sins. But to be sorrowful over our sins. Thus we come to repentance. Pag ganun yung posture ng ating hearts. Nang dahil sa disiplina ng Panginoon sa kanya, he started to fear God's anger. And then he was troubled by God's displeasure. Thus he becomes troubled by his sin. And when he became troubled by his sins, he wept over his sins. And he started to repent. Number four and last. Confidence. He had confidence. David had confidence over the Lord's deliverance. David placed his confidence in the Lord's deliverance. Let's read verse 8 to 10. Or let me read. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All of a sudden, yung musical tone ng verse 8 to 10 ay nagbago. For those of you who know me well, I'm not a music person. Okay, hindi ako marunong makinig kung ano yung nasa tono. Kagabi lang, naglalakad kami mag-asawa, tawa siya ng tawa. Sabi niya, imposible talaga, hindi mo makuha yung tono. And that is me. Though I'm not claiming to be a professional pagdating sa dito. But in this passage, wala akong alam pagdating dito. So but, yung tone ng verse 1 to 7 ay naiba pagdating ng verse 8 to 10. Remember, this is a song. Okay? So yung verses 1 to 7, nasa minor key lang siya. Okay? Tapos pagdating sa verse 8 to 10, bigla niyang inangat ngayon sa major key. So if that makes sense, I tried to do my research. If you're a musician, if that makes sense, help me out here. Pero naging iba from lament, from penitence, to excitement and joy and confidence. No? Biglang tinono ni David yung note niya sa high key ng confidence. He warned his enemies na kailangan tantanan niyo ako dahil pakikinggan ng Panginoon yung aking panalangin. Na iba yung tono eh. Tatlong beses binanggit ni David in different ways. So verse 8, Lord has heard my weeping. Verse 9, the Lord has heard my plea. Verse 9, the Lord accepts my prayer. Tapos in verse 10, he gave a word to his enemies na maaaring a word of warning and a word of encouragement, which is really weird. Probably it's itong reason why nahirapan ako sa passage. I really spend a lot of time dito because I'm trying to understand this because of verse 10. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. So there's warning. A verse said it could be a warning or an encouragement. Now let me explain that. Warning. Warning kasi this could mean the Lord would judge him or would judge them kasi nga kinakaaway nila yung appointed ng Panginoon na hari. Judgment could mean defeat sa gera or defeat sa posisyon, natatanggal sila, or defeat could mean die. Okay? And this could also lead to a lot of demise sa kaaway. So that could be a warning, ha? Pinakinggan ng Panginoon ang aking panalangin, ingat kayo. That could be it. Or, it could be an encouragement. Encouragement sa kaaway? Yes. Maaring dahil sa kindness ng Panginoon, yung shame ng kaaway na nabanggit dito might turn to repentance. Isn't that interesting? He warns his enemies, but could it be that he gives them a warning in hopes that they would turn to repentance as well? That's interesting. It's true kasi nabanggit ito sa Psalm chapter 83, verse 16, hindi ito unusual. Let me read this to you. The psalmist Asaph prayed an interesting prayer sa Panginoon para sa kanyang mga kaaway. It could be na ganito rin ito. Look at the, you can write it down, Psalm 83, verse 16 hanggang 18. Ito ang prayer ni Asaph. Fill their faces with shame, pareho halos, that they may see your name, O Lord. Whoa. Let me read that again. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Verse 17. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them perish in disgrace. Verse 18. That they may know that you alone, his name is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. That is interesting. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. If this is the case ng prayer ni David, then he is not only praying for deliverance ng kanyang sarili, but he is praying deliverance over his enemies. His prayer that, Lord, I pray that they would turn from their sins and trust you. He's even ushering his enemies to the deliverer. Mga kaibigan, are you praying for your enemies? Are you praying for their salvation? I know pretty much kung ano nangyayari sa office. Maraming injustices na nangyayari dyan. Do you pray for your bosses? Do you pray for your colleagues? Or do you wish their demise? Sana matanggal sa trabaho yan. Kaya sana malipit na lang ako rito na hindi ko nakikita. Ayun ako, buti na lang natanggal at ako kung alam lang nila. Friends, David, these enemies, if this is accurate, because it is a possibility na ito yung direction ng prayer niya, he's praying the very people who wants his death. This is only something that comes from a heart that has been transformed by God. From a person who was also a murderer who tasted grace. Whoever rebels against God is an enemy of God. That's true. You see, the reason, friends, why we love sinning is because we do not fear God's anger. We do not fear it because we don't believe in a God who is holy and angry towards sin. We make God whoever we want him to be. When we do that, we created and worshipped a God of our own liking. If this is the case, mga kapatid, then God's anger is on us. We do not have sorrow over our sins. It's because we enjoy and celebrate our sins and give approval to those who do the same. Have you ever wondered why we do not repent from all of these sins? Aside na nai-enjoy po natin? You know why? Can I invite you to go to back to verse 4? Ano yung prayer ni David? Turn! Turn, O Lord! Wait a minute. Hindi ba pag nagre-repent ang isang tao, dapat ang siyang nag-turn away from sin and turn to God for salvation? But quick Bible study rito, pero sino yung kausap niya rito? His prayer is saying, turn, O Lord! Eh bakit ang prayer niya ito? Well, the truth is, ang hirap mag-repent, hindi po ba? Ang hirap mag-repent, ang hirap talikuran yung mga kasalanan na minamahal natin. Ang hirap talikuran ng mga kasalanan na nai-enjoy natin, mga nakasanayan na natin, nakagawian na natin. Wala namang problema kung walang mangingialam ng sitwasyon na ito. It's really hard to turn from sin. It's hard. Ang tanging dahilan kung bakit pinapanalangin ni David, turn, O Lord, it's because no one can repent without God. No one. Yes, we need to turn to God, but God also, by His mercy and grace, needs to turn to us. This is impossible, Pastor. This is impossible. A holy God, a righteous God, gives such favor to sinful men? Yes. And Jesus answered the similar questions when His disciples asked Him in Matthew 19:25-26. Let me read it to you. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? And here's the answer. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now we're using it in context. Imposible maligtas ang tao sa sarili niya. Imposible na talikuran niya ang kasalanan ng sarili niya. Pero sa Diyos, walang imposible. When David, the sinner, prayed for himself, sa verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Jesus, the sinless, prayed for us, the sinners. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. When David wept over his sins, Jesus wept for our sins. He wept for sinners to death. Jesus was crucified on the cross for us, His enemies. He did not treat us as our sins deserve. And while He was on the cross, God, the Father, turned not towards Him with favor. God, the Father, turned away from Him. Turned His face away. Why? Because His eyes were too pure to look at evil. Habakkuk 1:13. And because the Son has bore our guilt and shame on the cross, God the Father judged Him. He judged the Son as if He was an enemy. He died on that cross. He was buried. The wonderful news, He did not remain dead. On the third day, He has risen from the dead. Those enemies of God who turn away from their sins and put their faith in Christ's finished work on the cross shall no longer be enemies, but friends. Mga kaibigan, repent from your sins. Trust in the finished work of God on the cross for forgiveness of your sins and for your salvation. As for us, as we wrap it up ngayong hapon na ito, shall you continue in your sin? Friends, repent. Repent We need the grace of God to repent. Because when we are distressed because of sin, we must turn to the Lord for deliverance. Because if we don't turn to the Lord for deliverance, we turn to other forms of saviors. Even the very enemy ng God pupuntahan natin. Let us right now close this time in prayer, or this section in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your kindness sa amin. We have seen from your word that we are undeserving. We have seen from your word that we are sinners, that we are people who love to continue sinning. We have seen from your word na nagngingit-ngit yung galit ninyo sa amin. Nakaan na yung kinakatakot ni David na kaya nyo kaming patayin. But the fact na kami ay buhay pa is but mercy and grace. So I pray for that mercy and grace sa mga kaibigan ko nandito, Panginoon, na hindi nyo pa anak. The reason why they are still living because you are still waiting. You are still extending grace sa kanila. Wow, I pray as they heard the gospel that you have caused them to turn. As for my brothers and sisters who have once again been refreshed by the gospel, I pray that this would fuel us to never stop pursuing our loved ones who are not yet in faith, and to love our enemies that they are so weirded out that they would say, "Who is your God?" In Christ's name we pray. Amen.